Good morning, Glenkirk Church. It is so good to be together online, but man, do I miss seeing your faces. I really miss our Sunday mornings together, and even as I'm sitting here in the worship space, I'm thinking about all of the different people that I would greet as I came in and see as we worship together. So now as we worship online, we will continue to celebrate God's goodness in our lives as a community and as individuals. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jen Graffius, and I'm an eco-pastor. I work at Azusa Pacific University in the Center for Vocational Ministry, and I work with students who are going into ministry. I'm the director of mentoring and formation there, and I love what I get to do, and I love that I get to be here with you this morning. So as we look to the scriptures, would you join me in turning to John chapter 16? We'll begin in the 25th verse, and it says this. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Would you join me in prayer? Faithful God, we give you thanks for your word. We pray today that as we open the scriptures and as we reflect on peace, that you would speak to us. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Friends, the way of Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Sunday school, youth group, a Christian college. I've worked in Christian camps, I've been on mission trips, I've served the poor, and now I'm an ordained minister. And as a young girl, I thought that all of this doing the right thing and faithfully following Jesus would mean one thing above all else, and that is that I would get everything I wanted. That I wouldn't have to endure pain like those who didn't follow Jesus their whole lives. I believed that I could escape suffering. And in many ways, that's the message that I heard while growing up in the church. Make the right choices, do the right things, and you'll be healthy and you'll be happy. And you know, some of that is true. There is a sweetness to life when you learn to live not just for yourself. And also, the reality of life as a human is that we are going to face hard things. Suffering is part of the Christian journey. All of us, no matter how good or bad we are, will experience times of trouble. But the story doesn't end there. Peace is also part of following in the way of Jesus. Suffering and peace have this strange interconnected relationship. Now, suffering is a tough topic to talk about, particularly as a preacher, because suffering can be really subjective. Some people have an extremely high pain tolerance, while others do not. And so we have to be careful to compare one person's pain to another person's pain. Today, as we look at this interconnected relationship between trouble and peace, may the Holy Spirit speak powerfully into your own situation and know that God sees your situation, whatever that might look like. So today we find ourselves in John 16 as we conclude this series on the way of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look much more closely at the way of peace. Now I'm going to warn you, I think I already have up front, that the way of peace isn't all puppies and rainbows, and it isn't without struggle and or conflict. Oftentimes, the way of peace involves suffering. Many times we enter into this Christian life under the belief that becoming a Christian is going to make our lives perfect by washing all of the bad stuff away. And that's just simply not true. The Christian life calls us to be unusual, to live outside of this mold that's set for us by the world, and to live into this new kingdom. And we find ourselves in places a lot of the time that are uncomfortable and even painful. And this is what Jesus is communicating to the disciples as he kind of circles the wagons in this conversation and says, "Hey guys, just so you know, there's a time coming, and it's coming sooner than you realize, that things are going to be very different than they are right now." And I think the disciples are just sitting there and they're nodding their heads and trying to imagine what in the world Jesus is saying to them. And then they say, "Oh, of course, we get it now. Thanks, Jesus." Jesus says to them, "Well, no, guys, I can tell that you actually don't get it. What I'm telling you is you are going to suffer. It will be much worse than it is right now. You'll be scattered, and you're going to run and hide, and you'll leave me alone in my suffering." And this was likely a pretty unbelievable piece of information for them to take in. Of course they wouldn't abandon Jesus. They were ready to follow Jesus to the very end. Isn't it just like us as humans to have a hard time processing information like this? A lot of us have recently experienced those moments where you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that was happening except for the fact that you were living it. The shock and disorientation that happens when everything is turned upside down is profound. It's jarring. As we read this text from John 16, we have the advantage of hindsight, actually. We know that what Jesus is preparing the disciples for is going to be much more suffering than they ever imagined possible. We know that the disciples will witness the betrayal and the brutal death of their leader and Lord, and they will abandon Jesus in his time of trial, and then they will hide away behind locked doors because of the deep suffering and their fear after Jesus is crucified. All of this will happen just in the next couple of chapters in the book of John. So Jesus, in John 16, and really in our own lives, is preparing his followers, saying, in this world, you will have trouble. Get ready. Anytime we're breaking through things and facing the old broken way of doing things, we risk facing suffering and hardship. If you want to dare to dream and step out to follow Jesus, you should know up front that it is not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. You will likely face failure. You might disappoint yourself. But there's also some really great news on the other side of that. This is also the way of peace. In a few chapters from now, John chapter 20, after Jesus endures the cross and dies and rises again, the first words that Jesus says to his disciples when he enters the room and stands among them is peace, peace. Then Jesus shows them his hands and his side, the signs that he too suffered. You know, so often we think that we deserve peace because we've been good and we've done all the things right in our lives. And when pain and suffering come, as they often do, we get caught in this anger and pain and confusion. Suffering isn't something that we associate with God's gift of peace. Times of trouble isn't necessarily something that we would think of as the starting point to following Christ in this way of peace. In fact, it seems quite the opposite. If we're praying for a life of peace, the last thing in the world we'd expect is struggle and trouble and suffering. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. explores this in one of his sermons. What he says makes so much sense, especially given the context in which he spoke these words. Right in the middle of the civil rights movement of the 1960s, he says, "True peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it's the presence of justice and brotherhood." I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." Now, Jesus was saying in substance was this, that I come not to bring an old negative peace, which makes for stagnant passivity and deadening complacency. I come to bring something different. And whenever I come, a conflict is precipitated between the old and the new. Whenever I come, a struggle takes place between justice and injustice, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. I come not to bring a negative peace, but a positive peace, which is brotherhood, which is justice, which is the kingdom of God. The way of peace isn't simply just being nice. It's not ignoring the pain around us and pretending that everything is fine. Real peace comes on the heels of facing things. It comes when we decide that we are no longer willing to just keep something that resembles peace. Instead, we are going to fight to get to the other side and experience real peace. After his resurrection in John chapter 20, Jesus enters the room where the disciples have hidden. The disciples are afraid. They're broken down because the whole picture of what they had, of what their world would look like, was shattered. They were troubled. And I wonder if the words that Jesus had said to them in John 16 rang in their ears as Jesus appears to them. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You'll leave me all alone. And there in this scene, Jesus offers words of peace to them. Jesus shows them his wounds, the signs of his own suffering, so that they know it's really him. And then, after sensing their joy when they recognize him, Jesus repeats the greeting, "Peace be with you." This greeting comes with a commission. He says, "As the Father sent me, now I send you." Suffering and peace and mission are connected. These disciples, once paralyzed by their fear and trouble, are now invited into the way of peace. This way includes their mission to be sent out into all of the world to spread the good news of Christ. We will face hard things as Christians. The suffering may be severe. But we are also invited into the hope of knowing that our pain and our suffering and our troubles, though part of the journey, are not the end of the story. Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, shares the story of Admiral Jim Stockdale. It's a really interesting story. Admiral Stockdale was the highest ranking U.S. military officer in the Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp during the Vietnam War. Stockdale was tortured over 20 times during his 8-year imprisonment. And according to Collins, Stockdale lived out the war without any prisoner's rights, no set release date, and no certainty as to whether or not he would even see his family again. But Stockdale did survive. He became a national hero and spent the later parts of his years studying philosophy at Stanford. And when asked how in the world he survived 8 years in a brutal prisoner of war camp, he explained this: "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." Admiral Stockdale continues, "You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be." What has become known as the Stockdale Paradox teaches us that we must retain faith that we will prevail in the end, and we must also confront the most brutal facts of our current reality. You see, faith and hope are much more than basic optimism. Faith and hope are a deep belief that though the current situation is deeply broken, our stories don't end there. And in knowing this, we can live into a holy peace that transcends what the current situations may be dictating to us. Suffering and peace and mission join together. The community that Jesus created with the disciples, the beginning of the Christian church, was born out of the suffering they lived through. So the church began as a wounded community. Henry Nouwen likes to call it wounded healers. The early church was a community of believers sent out from their despair, empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive sins and to welcome others to follow in the way of Jesus. And that's what we see here in these texts, a commission to go and not to fear the suffering that comes when we follow Jesus. The truth be told, we don't like pain and suffering. We have pills for every ache and itch and discomfort. We avoid conflict at all costs, often to the risk of our own health and well-being. We would rather dull our pain and escape our suffering than let it teach us. But sometimes there is no dulling pain. We have no choice but to live through the pain and endure the suffering. And during those times, there is a risk of becoming bitter and angry. But these times can also lead us to new places in our journeys, new insights, new purposes. It leads us to peace. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by Horatio Spafford. He was a Presbyterian. He was a layperson from Chicago and had established a very successful legal practice as a young businessman. Spafford was a devout Christian, and he, among his very close friends, were several evangelists, including the famous Dwight L. Moody, who was also from Chicago. Spafford's fortune evaporated in the wake of the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He had invested heavily in real estate along Lake Michigan's shoreline, and with the fire, he lost everything overnight. As the story goes, desiring rest for his wife and 4 daughters, as well as wishing to join and assist his evangelist friend Dwight Moody in one of their outreaches in Great Britain, Spafford planned a trip to Europe for his family in 1873. In November of that year, due to unexpected last-minute business developments, Spafford had to remain in Chicago, But he sent his wife and his four daughters ahead as scheduled, and he expected to follow a few days after them. But on November 22nd, the ship that his wife and daughters were on was struck by another vessel and sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors were finally landed in Cardiff, Wales, and Horatio Spafford's wife cabled her husband the words, "Saved alone." Spafford immediately left to join his wife. And the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," is said to have been written as he approached the area of the ocean thought to be where the ship carrying his daughters had sunk. He wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." As followers of Jesus, we are not promised life without trouble. But when we face trouble, we can be encouraged that we are not alone. Jesus is there with us, present in our trouble and transforming our fear into deep faith and hope. Jesus has a way of empowering us to be a community of compassion. And it's out of this that we can go out and dress the wounds of the world, inviting people to be whole and live anew, because that's what Jesus has done for us. The way of peace tells us that this present reality is not the final answer in how we are going to live. We have hope that on the other side of the suffering that we endure in this world is a peace that surpasses understanding. And it's a peace that comes with the depth of knowing that in all seasons God is with us, the good, the bad, and everything in between. So as we close today, I invite you to offer to the Lord your troubles. Just as the disciples faced their fear, their suffering, their pain together, we too, as followers of Christ, can face those things in community. So I want to invite you, as you're watching today, to place those things before God. Maybe you want to extend your hands out in front of you as a tangible way of saying, "God, here are the things that are troubling me. Here are the things that are weighing heavily on me today. Here is my suffering." Just place those things there. And as I pray this morning, we pray that even in the face of troubles, we know that God is there. God has not left us alone in our pain. Oh no, hear the words of Jesus saying to you this morning, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Would you pray with me? God of peace, we offer to you those things that trouble us, those things in our own lives and in the world around us. And we pray that on this journey, that we would experience your peace, your real peace, God. The peace that allows us to face hard things and leads us to the other side of hope and faith. We love you today, God. We worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.